We find now in verse 9, the Lord now speaks to the Apostle Paul because he's coming into a new great dimension of his missionary endeavors. I'm reading now verse 9. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, "Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee. For I have much people in this city." Now that'd be about the last place that you'd expect that the Lord had much people in that place. I have been through Las Vegas quite a few times, and I'll be honest with you, and you look at that crowd, and if the Lord said, "I've got much people in this place," I wouldn't question the Lord, but I sure wouldn't get that impression from looking at the people. And I'm of the opinion that Paul, who had been there for quite a while now, he's wondering about that. And I am of the opinion when he received this opposition, he was ready to leave and go somewhere else. But what happened? Well, the Lord now detains him. And he says, "I want you here. I have much people in this city." And as we indicated before, this was with Ephesus, probably the two places where he did the most outstanding work in his ministry. Now we're told in verse 11, he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. For 18 months, Paul ministered there. Now, again, the gospel's going to cause opposition. And what happens in verse 12? And when Gallio was the deputy of Achaia, the Jews made insurrection with one accord against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat. Now, that's the bema that Paul talks about in the first epistle to the Corinthians and the second epistle. The bema, the judgment seat. And I've been there. I've sat on it myself in the ruins of Corinth, and I have a picture made standing on top of the judgment seat that was there. Now, they brought the charge against him, saying, "This fellow persuadeth men to worship God contrary to the law." Now, not the law of the Roman Empire, and not the law of Corinth, but according to the Mosaic system. Now, notice this, verse 14, "And when Paul was now about to open his mouth, Gallio said unto the Jews, If it were a matter of wrong or wicked lewdness, O ye Jews, reason would that I should bear with you. But if it be a question of words and names, and of your law, look ye to it, for I will be no judge of such matters." And he drave them from the judgment seat. Now, notice this. Then all the Greeks took Sosthenes, the chief ruler of the synagogue, beat him before the judgment seat, and Gallio cared for none of those things. Now, I have heard and I've read this man Gallio. He has been condemned in no uncertain terms, that he was an unfeeling, typical Roman judge of that day, and on why it goes. I want to say for the defense of Gallio, I thank God for him, and I personally think that he took the right position. And I'll tell you what I mean by that. You see, he is probably the first one who made a distinction between church and state. Gallio said, "Now, if this concerns some religious thing, then you take it and handle it yourself, because that doesn't concern the Roman law, or I'm a Roman magistrate, and I will not interfere in religious matters. You will have to handle that." And he adopted a hands-off policy. Now, I want to say this, and I want to say it kindly. I wish the Supreme Court of the United States would adopt the same policy. Stay hands off when it has to do with religion. And this idea of prayer in schools. Why, the public school in America was founded by Christians, and prayer has been made down all through these years. What right have a group of secular men to come along and make a decision that you can't have prayer in the schools, you see? I like Gallio. I don't know about you. He separated church and state, and he said, I won't interfere in that. If they're having prayer in school, then they can have prayer in school. And if they're not having it, we won't force it. You see, hands off. I like Gallio. I think that he did the right thing. He would not interfere with this man Paul preaching in the city of Corinth at all. Because he says, this has to do with your religion. And we are a city where you have freedom. You have religious freedom. And thank God for that. The unfortunate thing today is that this matter of freedom of speech has been abused in one direction, the wrong direction, and freedom of religion's been abused in the other. It's been curtailed because under the guise and the pretense that we are trying to separate church and state. Well, if you separate church and state, you'll keep your nose out of that which refers to the church. And if a school wants to have prayer, that's their business, and it's not the business of a little group of men in Washington or anywhere else. May I say to you that that's what freedom of religion is. And this man, Gallio, I'm going to vote for him if he ever runs for office. I'll tell you that. We need men with this kind of a vision. It says Gallio cared for none of those things. Well, of course not. He's a secular magistrate. He's not going to come into the church and try to settle an argument about predestination and free will. That's not his business. He'll stay out of that.